When you say witness for God, then frequently, of course, what comes to mind is what I call a formal witness, in which an assortment of scripture verses are given to somebody, be they out of Romans or John or just select verses from various books of the Bible, but that's a formal witness. That's when you explain to somebody in about 5-10 minutes what it means to be saved, why they need to be saved, and then how to get saved. That's what I call a formal witness. But when we think about witnessing for God, there's the informal witness. That's when a few choice words are used and spoken to somebody, and it leaves with them the thought of God. And this may be in a form of thanksgiving. Now, not November Thanksgiving, just, you know, it might be in March, and there's something you're thankful for, okay? And so, according to what a clerk at a store may say, you would be able to respond by saying, yes, I thank God for, and then, you know, whatever it is that fits in. Or it can be a matter of praise. And again, this is a witness for Jesus Christ. When something is said, that again, you have to pray and just ask God to help you to see the opening. And then you respond to it. But that might be the sort of thing when we say praise, in which an individual says, boy, they had a close call. Somebody ran through a traffic light. And then you might say something like, yeah, I praise God. And you can combine a thanks here. I praise God and thank him for the safety he gives us every time we go out. Now, sometimes you'll find people to, Pat frequently uses this form of witnessing. And she said, sometimes you'll have people that'll smile and nod in agreement. Occasionally she'll get some that will verbally agree to it. But there are always those who it's, you know, they may have been very friendly and talkative. You inject something like that and boom, it's over. And they get, you know, you can feel their silence, all right? But you're leaving a witness, okay? And so these are ways that we can witness for God. But more than witnessing for God in the sense of the formal or informal, I'm thinking about being a witness for God. Now, you know, again, there again, your mind might go to the formal or informal manner. But no, just all of how we live, all of how we act is a witness for God. Pastor has many times talked about not putting a bumper sticker on your car. Did you see a post that I put on my Facebook? Those of you that are on our Facebook, I read it somewhere. And this lady was pulled over by a policeman. I know I won't remember all of it. Pulled over by a policeman. And she wondered what she was pulled over for. And the end result of it, he could see her just cussing out somebody. And I think flipped the finger to them, and they were all upset. And he stopped her, and she said, why'd you stop me? Well, I'm figuring you have stolen this car. And she looked and wondered why. And he commented to her conduct and what he was observing. And on the back of the car were a couple religious bumper stickers. And so he said, I figured, you know, you must have stolen this car. It couldn't be yours by the way you were acting. And you know, we are a witness for Christ. And pastor has again frequently said regarding a businessman that wants to be sure that he's wearing his little fish symbol or has his Bible verse on his name card or something. And I understand those can all be effective things. But nevertheless, if their manner of business doesn't match that, It'd be better if they didn't say anything and just left their witness, their manner of living and serving and doing things, be what it ought to be. Classic New Testament verse on the matter of being a witness, or on a more specifically witnessing, is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You're familiar with this. Acts 1, 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And of course, that verse is commonly used when we talk about witnessing in the formal sense, but it would very well fit in it, just in the sense of being a witness, how we live. Okay, that's a witness for God. Now listen, people don't get saved by seeing you live godly. People get saved by the scriptures.
That's right.
Okay, by the hearing of the word is how they get saved. So we need to live right, but then we need to be sure that at some point we either verbally tell them scriptures or at least give them a gospel tract. Because if they're going to get saved, it's got to be by the word. Now, how we live can be an appeal and attraction to them. Of course, what I described earlier was not an appeal or an attraction. It was a distraction. And we need to be sure that we don't live so nicely and sweetly and wonderful. And then the next time, you know, like with a neighbor, all right, you know, we can be so sweet and so kind and take them a pie. Hope you like this. And here's something to read. And then when they park, you know, 2 feet over the line, okay, and we go out there and read them the riot act because they're parking on our lawn. Couldn't you see that that was new grass there? And you know, man, you know, be one or the other, but don't be so two-faced, okay? A double-minded man is unstable in all these ways, and that means it's going to show up again, okay? Now, be a witness for God. We have to do this. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, listen, there's 6 P's that I'm going to give you when it comes to the matter of being a witness, whether it's informal and just a few choice words, or whether it be formal in an assortment and a plan of salvation scriptures, we call them. 6 P's in order to be a witness. Number 1, plan. Number 2, prepare. Number 3, practice. Number 4, pray. Number 5, pray. Number 6, pray. We need to bathe the whole matter in prayer. But we can plan on it. If you carry a New Testament, you can underline the verses. If you don't carry a New Testament, I've known people to carry a tract that they're very comfortable with and they feel is one they can use, and they'll carry a tract. And then when they go to talk to someone, they just pull that tract out. They've planned. They have the tract with them. And you do have to plan for this. Our son was visiting last week, and we took him out for supper. It came time to pay, and I had not planned, okay? I did not plan. You know, what does that mean, I didn't plan? Who can tell me?
I didn't have a track.
I usually carry one in my wallet. One, oh my goodness, and cards are all gone. I got to get more cards up there. Excuse me here while I make a note. There's 2 different cards that we have in there in the front of that older track rack, and I know Dale uses them frequently, and you didn't tell me they were all gone, Dale. I count on you.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, I did not plan, and therefore I didn't have a track. So we need to plan if we're going to witness. We need to prepare for it and then practice. I remember back in the beginning when I first got saved, and then soon thereafter, the Lord put on my heart about witnessing. And of course, as you know, talking isn't usually a problem for me. And therefore, it was not a problem to think about. And yet, you know what? As easy as it is for me to talk, I'll get shy when it comes time to have an opportunity to witness. And I just can't think of anything to say. You know, up here when I'm telling you about it, I've planned, I've prepared. Therefore, I have the things to say that you can say. But when it comes to actually being out there in an everyday situation, I need to plan just like I'm telling you to plan so that I'm ready to say it. And so a lot of people that I've known will use a gospel tract. They carry them, and that way. Now listen, if you carry it around too long and it gets dog-eared, throw it away. Well, I hate to waste it. It's better to use a fresh one, okay? Take the dog-eared one home and iron it or something, okay? the point is, you know, you don't use trashy stuff when you're going to witness. And ladies, they're fortunate. They have a purse they can put, you know, a track into, or even in a track wallet. You know what a track wallet is? It's the cover of a date book, a monthly date book. That's what I use. You can spend $8-9 to get one of them, or you can just use last year's monthly calendar, the cover. Okay, and you say, well, I don't use a monthly calendar. Well, when you go to your bank and they give them away, just take one and then throw the calendar part out, and then you have a place to put your tracks. You put them in your purse. Now, us men, we don't carry a purse. If and at least not yet. If you live in Europe, they have what they call man bags. And they carry man bags. Now, I don't care what you call them. It's a purse, you know, okay? But it's made different than a lady's purse. I understand that. And I had somebody tell me, as a matter of fact, I think it was you, but told me, I don't care what they call her. I'm not carrying one. And I can't see Chris carrying a man bag. No. Even if everybody else is. So us men have to figure out something, how we're going to carry a track. That's the point. You say, well, I can't figure it out. All right, so then just let the souls go to hell because we can't figure out how to carry a track. You say, well, that's not very kind. No, I know it's not. Why should we leave people die and go to hell because we can't figure out how to carry a track? And so we need to be sure we have the Word of God with us and live to support it. Now, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. You say, well, I just don't know what to say. Well, that's where the plan, prepare, and practice. Practice on your wife. Practice with a mirror. I know I did both of them when I first started to witness. I would stand in front of the mirror and, oh, man, if you can witness to that guy, you can witness to anybody. Thank you for catching that. But really, you stand there and you practice. And you just verbally go through it. Now, if you can get your wife or somebody else to go through with you, then they can ask you questions, okay, that you need to answer. And the intention isn't to be as hard as you can on a person, but still to ask questions so that the one who's practicing on you will need to respond to them. And one thing I'll say about witnessing, don't get off track. There's times people will ask questions that can throw you off track. Now, you can't ignore them. And depending on what the question, you're like, well, I smoke cigarettes, and boy, that troubles me. Don't go down the tobacco road, okay? Because you could win that argument, especially. I've known people who are so against tobacco use that when they were witnessing and somebody raised, and the person sincerely raised it, I smoke and boy, that troubles me, and how in the world could I live for God if I'm this? And then the Christian just takes into a tirade over tobacco. Lord, you know, we're there to give them the gospel. And but you see, a person who feels strongly about that, they feel like they would be weak and they would be unfaithful to God if they didn't decry what they believe is wrong. But the purpose is to give the gospel to somebody. And therefore, you don't go down and you say, well, you know, that's a question. This is how you respond to that. Or any other thing that could get you off track. Well, that you know, that's something that a lot of people are concerned about. And let me finish what I'm sharing with you. And then we could talk more about that. And so then you finish the gospel you're giving. And now, I still don't think you ought to go into a tirade over it, because, you know, as sure as they say they're troubled about smoking, and then, you know, you figure, well, you'll support that, and you take into them over tobacco, they'll become defensive now of what they're doing. And so, you know, you get to the end, and you wait and see if the person brings it back up. And a lot of times, they don't bring it back up. You say, well, don't you think you said, let's wait till the end? All you've said is, let's wait till I'm through with this. Then we can talk about it. You didn't say you would talk about it. And you know, the Bible says we are to be harmless, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And therefore, there's ways to deal with these things. Now, you see, in this matter of witnessing, I'm going down not a tobacco road, but I'm going down an explanation road that I didn't intend to. So I'll have to leave that part of it. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Because when I prepared on the matter of being a witness or witnessing, and in looking for scripture, I found Isaiah 43 and verse 9. Isaiah 43:9. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say it is truth. Now, we'd have to go into the whole context, which would involve the beginning of this chapter and maybe a couple other chapters, okay? But look at what verse 10 says. Ye are my witnesses. He's talking to his people. He's talking to the Israelites. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. How is Lord spelled there? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And when you see that Lord, all capitals, is referring to Jehovah, it's referring to Jesus Christ. And now there are some Bible teachers that don't agree with that. Okay? But they also don't read it in context. When you read capital L's and then lowercase O-R-D, that's talking about a person of honor and respect that we give to. Here it says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Of course there wasn't. God is the only one who's eternal. And there was nothing before him. But he's eternal. Now, you and I may have difficulty in understanding how there was nothing before him, but he existed. You know why we have difficulty with that? Because we are human. We are earthly. We are time bound. But he's not. And he reveals that eternal aspect of himself to us in scriptures like this. And there's not going to be any God formed after him. In other words, he's telling us he's the only one. Now look at verse 11. I am the what? Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. Now here again, there are some Bible teachers who they say that there is no other Savior. That's not referring. The Lord here is not referring to Jesus Christ. I think they're wrong. I believe it is. But he said God in general is man's Savior. Well, that's true, but it's not descriptive of this passage. We'll see that as we read on. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Jesus said, declare that I am God.
Amen.
Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Who shall prevent it? Thus saith the Lord. See what it says next? Your Redeemer. That's one of the titles of Jesus. The Holy One of Israel. Again, another title of Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. Now he's referring to the people of Israel and what he did for them in delivering them from Babylon. Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your what? What does he call himself? King. That's what Jesus is called, King. What a passage. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. You say, well, that is talking to Israel, and we're not Israel. Yeah, but it shows us how God expects us to be a witness for him. Remember, I've said that many, many, many times, and I'm going to continue to say it many times. What we read of how God interacts with the people of Israel shows us what God expects, what God wants from his people. Then it was Israel. Today it is the church. And we cannot ignore such passages simply because it's for Israel. It is for God's people. And now today we are God's people. And so you hear people tell how you live by the precepts, the instructions from the Word of God, what the Bible commands us that we do. You hear that, don't you? Of course you do. But then we also hear preachers rant and rave. It's supposed to be humorous there, Tim. And so you hear preachers talk about living by the principles of the Word of God. What do you mean the principles of the Word of God? Here it is. Here we have a passage given to the Israelites about God's work for the Israelites. We're not Israelites. But the principles of the passage, the things that please God, the things that God expects, becomes a pattern for us today as the church. And so we live by the commands, the precepts, and the principles, the general instructions, and the general ways that God expects his people, whether that be Israel or whether it be the church, how to live. Be a witness for God. Plan, prepare, practice, and pray, pray, pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the word, and we pray that you'll help us to understand it and to live by it, conform our lives.